have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
God bless you. I am Apostle Irvin Whitlow, and I want to invite you to listen to Making Marriage Meaningful. Join me.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, Making Marriage Meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in to his presence. Press in
And now, Making Marriage Meaningful with Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Good evening, everyone. I'm not Apostle Irvin Whitlow. I am Kimmy Kim. Apostle Irvin Whitlow is running a little late. I'm going to play another selection, and hopefully he should be coming on very soon. And I hope all is well with everyone. I'm not going to unmute you until Apostle Irvin Whitlow comes. He is running behind. So I'm going to play another song, and I hope to hear from him very soon. He just sent me a text. So please stay on, and let's enjoy this wonderful podcast. I love making marriage meaningful. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Welcome tonight to Making Marriage Meaningful. I am your host, Apostle Whitlow, and I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. Attend to and God has favored us to be back tonight. Amen. And so we're grateful to be here. Let me make this disclaimer. Okay. First thing is, I do not claim to be a relationship expert. I share things based upon what God has shared with me to help people along the way. And I pray that the things that I share based upon experiences, having been out of relationship and experiences, the things that we share will help you along the way. That's our desire. Let me make this other disclaimer. I must be comfortable. It is raw. It is relevant. We're going to talk about some real stuff. Believe me, we're going to talk about some real stuff. I want you to join in, okay? Now, I don't do this all by myself. I have a team of panelists who help me, and I'm going to see who we have here tonight joining us. I know my producer is here, so let's hear from her first as she greets us this evening. Dr. Kimmy, come on, say hello to us.
Hello, and I am in the building, and I'm looking forward towards this wonderful discussion.
So happy to hear you. I believe that Brother Otis and Lady Otis Gabriel are with us. Come on, y'all say hello to us on this evening.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to hear everybody's voice.
I'm going to check and see if my big brother, Apostle Smith, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, let me see if he's here tonight. Are you with us, Apostle? So I don't hear him, so that must mean he must not be here. I'm almost certain that Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. is probably in transit right now, but let me just double check. Bishop-elect Richard, are you with us? Okay, he's not here. Let me check and see if this newly affirmed woman of God is here with us. Apostle Felicia Flight, are you with us tonight?
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Oh, excuse me. Yes, I am. Hello.
She is here. She is alive. I'm so happy to have you, and we are so looking forward to you tonight. Believe that God has given me something that's going to really, really be a blessing. And I don't know how long we're going to be on it, but we're going to be on it as long as God helps us do. Okay? Just in a word of prayer, I'm going to get a scripture to you and share with you where I'm at tonight, and then we're going to start talking about it. All right, so come on and lead us in a word of prayer. Apostle Flight?
I'm sorry. Yes. Gracious Father, we truly thank you now, God, for all things. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning. God, with activities of our limbs. Now, Father, I ask that you would forgive us, oh God, of every sin, Lord God, that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly. Wash us afresh, oh God, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Now, God, on tonight, oh God, as we go forth with this podcast, Father, I ask that the people that are joining in will have a listening ear and an open heart, oh God. We don't proclaim to be professionals, oh God, for you are the professional. We're just following your word. So, Father, we ask that thy will have thine own way in us, through us, and on this podcast. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. So listen. I want to read the scripture to you on this evening. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read verses 4 through 8a. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Here's where I am tonight. This is the route I believe the Lord would have us to go. I'd like to talk from the thought, rekindle the love. Rekindle, which means we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about love. And there's a lot of things that we can share concerning love, but I want to make sure that we talk about it thoroughly so that there is good understanding. Okay? So when we talk about rekindling the love, that word rekindle literally means to relight or revive. Relight or revive. Today, as I was in my time of meditation, the Lord was sharing with me, and this has been for a few days, that one of the reasons that marriages really fail is not so much because of the infidelity, not so much because of the difference, but marriage fails. Marriages fail because love fails. That's going to be something to swallow right there, because people are always talking about, I love an individual, but I'm not in love with an individual. When the fact of the matter is that in order to be in love with someone, you have to become love. There's only one that is love. The Bible says God is love. That's why God is in love with us. He doesn't just love us, but he's in love with us. And so we are to learn from his example. So when we look at charity, when we really define this thing called charity, I think a lot of people, they misinterpret what it is. So I want to make sure that there is a good understanding, okay? It comes from the Greek word agape. Everybody knows agape. It is affection or benevolence, especially a love feast, okay? So it's more than brotherly love. It is grand affection. It is goodwill. Love, but like I said, it's a love feast. And when you think of a feast, you think about everything that is included in that feast. So think of a love feast that has everything included that is necessary. One of the things that what happens is what we do as a people is we begin plucking ingredients from the feast and we still want to call it love. And that becomes a problem. That becomes a real problem. If you pull ingredients from love, it is no longer a love feast. Meaning like this. Let me put it this way. If you pull the eggs out of the cake batter, if you pull the baking powder out of the cake batter, it is no longer a cake batter. It might look like it, but it doesn't become it. If you pull the sugar out, if you pull the milk out, yeah, I know how to cook. Trust, I know how to bake. I do all that. Listen, I learned some good stuff. But if you pull these ingredients out, the vanilla extract, if you pull these things out, the flour, if you pull these things out, and what happens is it is no longer what it was meant to be. You have now what is called imitation. And this is where we are in today's time, because people claim to get married out of love, but what they're doing is they're getting married out of imitation, because there are too many ingredients that are missing. Too many ingredients that are missing. And this is what I want to focus on tonight, because people think, oh, well, my marriage failed because this one did me wrong. My marriage failed because that one did me wrong. My marriage failed because this happened and that happened. No, your marriage failed because your love failed. Anytime love is not love, then it fails. Please hear me. You cannot do bits and pieces of love and yet expect your marriage to work on bits and pieces. It has to be the entire amount of love for it to work, for it to be what is necessary for a marriage to be sustained. Apostle Flight, what do you think about my opening thoughts, my opening statement?
Lord, rekindle the love. Ah, yeah. You touched some points there, but I think from a woman's perspective, can you say that you turned down love? Can you say that for it to spark back up? I mean, can we say that?
Okay.
I mean, I'm asking for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I mean, can love die? Can you fall out of love with somebody? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I mean, if you fall out of love with somebody, then you are never in love with them. Regardless of what they do, regardless of what they say, I mean, you can't. If you love somebody, you love them. You're supposed to love them with your heart, not your feelings. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't want to fall in love with somebody and then 10 days later I fall out of love with them because they do something that make me mad. I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to understand this.
Okay. Brother Gabriel?
Yes, right here. Thank you. I have a lot to say about your opening. I like that. Talking about rekindle. Re means to let's do it again. Like remind, tell you again. And to rekindle the love. That means that there was once love. And that flame has gone out. And we, the two parties involved, are 100% responsible. Now, there is a responsibility on both parties. It is a mutually agreed upon contract, whether verbally or written or assumed. And most of our contracts in a love relationship are assumed. That I love you, you love me, we have been through a lot. We are dating one another exclusively. We have been promoted to courting exclusively. We may be now engaged or even married. But it started because we both felt that we love one another. And in order for us to come to the point about to rekindle, that means that the flame has gone out. So what I would like to do when you mention that, I went before the rekindle, is when you see either party sees the flame begin to flicker where before it was a raging fire, then they should remind the other party. There was a song out says, it's been a long time since you held me. Now, before it became a long time, maybe she should have mentioned when it became longer than usual. If you start off hugging somebody every day, and then it becomes once a week and once a month, and then on your birthday and Christmas and your anniversary, maybe that conversation should have taken place earlier. So with me, in my relationship with my wife, Don't let the flame go out. As a matter of fact, I got one more thing to say about this. Then we turn it over to somebody else. When my wife and I were courting, we were engaged. And we would be together a lot. And then sometimes, just right in the middle of a conversation, while she's talking to me, our heads and faces were close to one another, I would just reach over and kiss her. Not to disrupt the conversation, and most of the time she didn't stop talking. But one day she said, "Why do you kiss me so much?" And I told her, I said, "If you were standing where I'm standing, you would understand why I kiss you so much." I said, "But do you want me to stop?" She says, "No, don't stop. I like for you to kiss me. I just don't want you to start something now that you're going to end later on." And that was prevention of the fire going out.
All right. Dr. Kimmy, what are you about to say?
Oh, my goodness. You started out with some fire. I mean, you mentioned some people fall in love, then they fall out of love, and then you talk about can love leave. Honestly, I'm with my sister Felicia. If you actually fall out of love with someone, then you weren't in love. And honestly, I have loved someone that I was dating, but I wasn't in love. So that happened to me. That is true. You know, dating stuff. So I can truly believe that. I believe if you are in love with someone, you will stay in love with someone. So I've been blessed to have two amazing loves in my life, one in college and one in my high school. The one in high school was killed. The one in college, I was too young. But I still have that in love feeling, and she is so true about that. So with that being said, I really believe it's really challenging to say you love someone and then you fall out of love. So my question is, sometimes, like my sister says, people fall into love too quickly to get to know that person, and then they fall right out of love. Because I can truly say, like my first husband, I don't think I was in love with him, because if I was, I would still love him. So maybe the abuse overshadowed that, but I can truly say I was not in love, because maybe the love didn't grow. But I did have love for him. So with that being said, I really believe this is a meaty discussion. So I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak on it.
Let me say this. That I really have a problem with the statement being in love with someone. Better yet, Let me rephrase that. I have a problem with falling in love with someone, because here is logical thinking. If you fall into anything, your number one objective is to get up. Why? Because falling hurts. That is something that many people will ignore, but falling hurts. Point blank period. You can't get around it. You can't change it. Falling hurts. And it hurts so to the point that many times it's hard to recover from a fall. So when I hear people say, "Oh, I fell in love with him. I fell in love with her." But then later, as you said, "I'm no longer in love." Why? Because you got up. You hear what I'm saying? You gotta see the concept of falling is that you tripped, or there was something that made you stumble, or there was something that caused you to lose your balance, and that's how you fell. Okay? But if you fall into something, eventually you don't wanna stay there. Because at falling, you hurting yourself, and now you're rubbing and you're trying to get the pain away. And that's what has happened with a lot of people. So here's the other thing, and I've said this again, and please hear me as I say this, that when you say that you are in love, you cannot be in love unless you become love. Let me make it clear. You cannot be in something you have not become. You have to be immersed immensely and intensely in love to be called, or to in love to be in love. For instance, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that word in makes the difference. He is a new creature. You cannot be a new creature unless you are in Christ. You cannot be Christ-like unless you are in Christ. Well, then, how can you be love-like unless you are, how can you be in love unless you are in this love, unless you become it? Listen, this is the thing. Notice what the scripture tells us, that that God is love. That's what the Bible says. It didn't say that love is God, but God is love. And if we are to be replicas of God, if we are to be representatives of God, if we are to be a reflection of God, then in like manner, we have to become what he is in order to operate in it. Lord Jesus, I know that probably flew over a couple of people's heads, but please let me make sure you understand this. In order to be in love, you must become love just like God did. That's why the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Why? Because God is love. He's able to give of himself. If you are not love, how can you give of yourself? So here's what the Bible says. Let me just go there. I'm going to come back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. But I want to look real quickly at, I believe it's 1 John, the 4th chapter. And going down a little bit, I want to share something with you because there are some things that we need to understand. Verse number 6 says this: we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Watch this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that is born of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Watch this. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Watch this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Watch this. Because he is love, it is that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Watch this. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us, meaning that we become a replica, a representation, a representative of that love. Watch this. Watch this. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and that he dwell in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. It says it again. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Watch this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Watch this. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What is this saying? What to be perfected in love is to actually become love as God is love. And so it is hard to operate in something you have not become or become perfected in. And so this creates an issue for marriages. Now watch this, because I'm going to let y'all say something in a minute. But watch this, right? We often talk about, I want to be so far in God that this is a statement that women make. I want to be so far in God that my future husband has to go through God to get to me because I'm in God. Okay, so what you're saying is you're now being housed by God, being that God is love. So you're being housed by God in his love. And so now what you're saying is the man has to come through that kind of love to get to you. All right, but then all of a sudden, when he gets you, now all of a sudden he doesn't operate in that love. Why? Because he has not been perfected in love. And watch this. Where there is fear, there is torment. The problem is that many people cannot operate in such a dimension of love because, one, they haven't become that, and, two, they have something called fear, and fear has torment, and that torment is a boundary, that if I go beyond this point, something is going to go wrong. If I do more than what I usually do, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be upset that it's not going to work, and this is how all of a sudden the flame begins to go out. This is all of a sudden why people are no longer so-called in love. Why? They have not been perfected in love. Come on, Apostle Flipe. I know you want to say something. I see it.
You already know. Because I think that's, let me set the point right quick. That, oh, my God. Lord, help me, Jesus. We put expectations. Let me deal with that first. We put our expectations so high on people that, yes, they disappoint us. Yes, yeah. I had to go ahead and say that because I have, and I have dealt with that. But what my question is, because I have made the statement, I can be very transparent, that I wanted my husband to find me through God. Yes, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because if you have dealt with so much unreal love, that when real love comes, we as women who have been rejected, abandoned, disappointed, misused, mistreated by a man who said that they love us, we don't want to deal with that type and style of man. We just don't. We want a man that loves God. I ain't saying that he got the I desire for my husband to love God, because like you just said, now he got to be perfected in it. So until he's perfected in it, he's not going to know how to love me or treat me. So that's why my desire is that. And again, I can't put a high expectation on him. I can lift a standard. You know, I'm not going to settle. But I said that I'm guilty. I'm guilty of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I admit my flaws. Yep, I sure do. And who got something to say?
Okay, come on there, brother Otis.
Right, thank you again. Now, when we inject and make God a part of the equation, which he should always be first in our lives, but when it specifically become what's called commingle in our definition of love. Now, first of all, and I think the sociologists have a unanimously agreement with this, that there is no indisputable definition of love. And I was listening earlier to some of the definitions, and if that is yours, if that is your romantic theology, if that is your romantic ideology, then that's what it is of yours. It is in our mind and what we consider in our heart. And it was discussed recently. Children, fall in love. Just as much a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old can be just as much in love as a 27-year-old or a 17-year-old. If that is what is your life at that particular moment. And this is my theology. This is my ideology, my narrative. Just because I don't love a person 5 years after I was madly in love with them, for me, it doesn't mean that I do not love or have not ever loved that person before. Because what I'm doing is I'm just upset and angry about something that transpired during that relationship. And I try to justify it with saying, oh, I thought I was in love. Well, that's what it is. If you ever thought, for me, if I ever thought that I was in love at that time, I was in love. It's just that I am not in love with the person at this time. So I try to pacify myself by saying I was never in love. And that is a falsity for me. Now, as far as there are different types of love. And we have love for God and love for the God in all that he does for us and in our hearts so that we can love another person. I would never compare the love I have for my wife with the love I have for God. There are two separate entities. The love I have for God rules and helps me to with my behavior conversation with other people. I don't put God and say, okay, you know, this is my friend number one, God number two. No, there is no comparison in any way with love for God and love for things and for people and for ideas or whatever. So I just love that. Love for a woman that I feel for my wife is romantic love, eros love. And that is something that I have just for her. And the love I have for God helps me to treat her nice, treat her right by following the commandment, being obedient to what we read in Corinthians. And I read that. That this is, since I love God, that this is how I will behave. This is how I will talk to my wife. And this is how I will treat my wife, following the rules of God. But the way that I love my wife, I don't commingle those. They are two separate entities. The same as I love my wife very much. I love my children very much. It is not the same thing, not the same type of love. So that is my take on that at this particular time.
And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Now, the definition of love that I shared was from the Greek, which, again, is agape, not my opinion, but this is agape love. And, again, it is affection and or benevolence, but it is mostly known especially as a love feast. It is known as a love feast. And so with that love feast, we find that goodwill and that benevolence, okay? So, again, these are parts of the attributes and the characteristics of God. And if we then are his offspring, then we ought to have the same attributes. And this is the premise in order to build a love relationship. Because you can sacrifice your body, You can give all your goods, feed the poor, and everything. But if you do not have these as the basis of a foundation for your character, for your reputation, for your identity, then you are really just what the Bible says, a clashing cymbal, and you are really not profiting anything because you do not have that which God wants you to have. The whole purpose that God created man was to represent him, be a replica of him, be a reflection of him, and that is in all that we say, all that we do, how all that we, the way we act, the way we react, the way we respond, and so on. So therefore, if we are not operating from a love feast, because every other love comes from a love feast. Just like this coming Thursday, there will be a Thanksgiving feast. There will be turkey. There will be ham. There will be chicken. There will be greens. There will be green beans. There will be mac and cheese. There will be sweet potatoes, sweet souffle. There will be corn. There will be this and that. Right? All of these things will be spread on the table. Okay? Now, if you don't do nothing but get the mac and cheese and the green beans, right, that's all you wanted from the feast. That doesn't mean that you got the entire feast, but you got what you wanted from the feast. And so this is what we do. We take what we want from the feast and try to make it look like it's the entire feast. And I respect that you said that you have a different type of love for your wife, a different type of love for your children. However, all of that love still comes from the feast, this which comes from God, which he wants us to have. And so therefore, if we do not have this, then how do we expect to sustain a marriage without this? Because if we do not have this, because there are some things, watch this, because I'm looking at this, right? And this tells me what love is, what love does, what love doesn't do. These things are important in order to apply to a marriage, no matter who it is, matter of fact, let's go beyond that. It applies to how we deal with life and individuals. No matter who it is, no matter who, what they did, no matter what, where they've been or what the case is, we cannot have favoritism in characteristics, okay? Listen, let me see if I can put it this way. You can be a nice person, right? But there is another part of you that can be, and I'm not speaking of you specifically, but while on one hand you can be a nice person, there's another side of you that can be a mean person. And so what we'll do is we'll try to act like the mean person doesn't exist, but the mean person shows up when somebody tells us off. The mean person shows up when somebody steps on our toe. The mean person shows up when somebody owes us money. The mean person shows up when somebody cusses us out. The mean person shows up when somebody robs us. The mean person shows up when we are violated, okay? And so what we'll do is we'll try to masquerade around the mean person with the nice person because we really don't want people to know that the mean person exists. And so it is in our relationship when it comes to love, right? We know we have an idea of love, but we don't understand it fully. And so what we do is we allow something else to rise up that we call love and is not love, and that is our fear. And it is our fear that causes reactions, and it's what causes different types of attitudes and behaviors, right? But we want to masquerade it around love and say, oh, it's just my way of showing you that I love you. No, boo-boo, no dude, no sis, no girl, no man, that's not it. It is not built upon the foundation of the characteristics of God himself, then it does not qualify. Listen, love does not qualify if you change any bit of its ingredients. You cannot do it and still call it love. Dr. Kimmy, what do you want to say to me here?
Okay, can you hold one? My wife would like to make a comment.
Okay.
All
yes,
right.
Ma'am?
I thought we started out talking about rekindling love in a relationship. So...
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I was thinking that love with the relationship it's like an investment because you invest your time, your emotions are involved, you go through life situations together, and then the biggest thing, you have to practice forgiveness if ever something happens that, you know, kind of upsets one or the other person. And that's what I thought you were talking about, because we were talking about falling in and out of love. A lot of times people experience love at first sight. And you really have to have another person to sort of like make the relationship mature. And I think that's what sets the foundation and makes the relationship strong. And that helps you not to even think about falling out of love. So I just wanted to add that, because I really thought we were talking about relationship love. And I know that, you know, being loved the way God wants you to love, you know, we want to grow to be that way, but we may meet someone who doesn't even know God that way. And if it's worth the time and investment, then, you know, by you all having contact with each other and you be the stronger person that knows God, you know, that would gel that relationship in the future that way. So that's what I want
to say. Yes, ma'am, we are talking about rekindling the love. However, in order to get to the place where we can rekindle it, we have to find out the things that are problematic so that we can justly say now love can be rekindled. And so by doing that, here's what we're doing. What we're doing is we are looking from the aspect of, one, what love is. And
well, you also
have your husband,
that loves you.
Wait a minute. You said we have to define what love is. And your husband said something very crucial. He said that there is no definition for love except what we make it to be. But we're basing our, again, if all love comes from God because God is love, then we can only use his platform to describe and determine what's what in order to deal with what's going on in marriages and to enable people to rekindle it. Okay, so what we have to, and here's what we should always do, especially when it comes to scripture. We should always treat the scripture as a mystery. That's why we receive revelation, because the word of God to us is a mystery. All right. So having said that, okay, this is where we are at. We are making sure that we come to the conclusion that love is defined as a love feast. And we cannot take bits and pieces of the feast and call it love. You have to take the entire feast to call it love. And so when it comes to relationship, what we do, we tell people we love them, right? But we don't offer them that same love. Because why? Love is a love feast. You don't offer somebody love just because they give you something, and then when they don't give it to you, you take it back. That's not love, not according to what we're reading here. And so what goes wrong in marriages is people become weary with the type of love they are receiving. And because they feel that it's not the same as when they first got married, all of a sudden their love grows cold. And when their love grows cold, they are no longer interested in being with one another. Now we find excuses. Now we find reasons to look for extramarital affairs. Now we find reasons to stay away. Now we find reasons to separate. Because why? This love has been misconstrued completely, because they have taken it away from being a love feast, and that should never be the case. That should never be the case. And so while we are talking about rekindling the love and we're talking about marriage, we have to build a platform so that we can rekindle. Amen? Dr. Kimmy, are you there?
Can you turn the trials on?
I am here, and before I begin my input, we do have Bishop Ouellette. I just want to say that love is also something that is required from God, whether it is eros, whether it is agape, whether it is, there's three more on the tip of my tongue, Philadelphia. But the most important thing that we must realize that agape is what he's requiring from us, meaning that we're loving not only our loved ones and our spouses, but we're loving our enemies. We're loving those who aren't lovable. We're loving those who talk to us. But we are talking about making marriage meaningful. So in that being said, when you are involved with someone, the love must continue on being, you know, really nourished. You must understand that in a lifetime, you could be married. Like, for instance, my parents just had their 50th anniversary last Saturday, and they're still learning each other, 50 years. And so what I have come to realize, no matter how long you've been with someone, you're still learning about that. And the moment that you stop learning each other is when that love can be really challenged, because sometimes people change. And that's why it's always good to date and ask questions and get to know one another on a daily basis, have a routine, you know, conversation and things like that. I look at my mom and dad, and it's amazing how they have gone through so much together, and they're still happy. And they actually like each other. You know, I have seen married couples who love each other, but they don't like each other. So when I look at their example, it's amazing, because they both had different beliefs, still love each other, and that's amazing. So with that being said, I really believe that love is ongoing when you are married. You must continue on still dating that person. You know how when they say, oh, wine gets better with time? I really think that when you want that longevity marriage, it gets better with time. And with time means that you have to continue on, you know, dating each other, getting to know each other, listening to each other, compromising, forgiving each other. And it's a beautiful love story. So that would be my intake.
Okay. Let me do this real quick. Let me do the rundown of the different loves that we read about in Scripture. Let me do this real quick. Then I'm going to bring Bishop Elect up to speed and hear from him. All right? In between both the Hebrew and the Greek, between both the Hebrew and the Greek, we have these different words for love. There is agapo, which is love in a social sense, a social or moral sense. Agapo, love in a social or moral sense, meaning that we can love the world because of our social system, okay? Even if they don't have any morals, we can love them that way. Agape, affection or benevolence. It is especially a love feast. All love stems from agape. Then there is agape, which is concrete or meaning animative words, you know, like much love or very lovely, capable of showing love even if you really don't love. So you tell somebody, oh, you look lovely. Let's go a little further. There is another one called ahab, which means to have affection for, sexually or otherwise. It pertains to a friend and or a lover. There is what is called filio, which means to be a friend to, fond of an individual or an object. It is to have affection for, denoting a personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling, especially to kiss as a mark of tenderness. So you can kiss somebody's hand because it's a form of sentiment. There is raham, which means to fondle, to have compassion, to have mercy. So you love someone because you see them as being helpless, and so the love in you reaches them because you want to show them mercy. There is something called Philadelphia. They call Philadelphia the city of brotherly love, but the real definition of Philadelphia is parental love. Yes, you know, that's the love of a parent. Then there is Eros, That is erotic love, passion in the most intense form. Every last one of these come directly from agape. It comes from a love feast. Every last one of them. You might pick this one and pick that one, but with our love feast, there would be no love. And that's what God is when the Bible says that God is love. God is a love feast, and from him, you can pull all the love you need for every scenario, every person, every relationship. You cannot do that without that agape. And so this is why we're getting back to this now, because, again, if we do not have a proper foundation of this, we cannot rekindle this. This is where we are. This is what we want everybody to understand. Now, Bishop-elect, I don't know how much you've heard, but our subject tonight is rekindling the love. And what we've been talking about is how love comes from love feast, and how if you change any one of the ingredients, it is no longer, you can no longer call it love. We talked about how people claim to fall in love or they fall out of love. We talked about the flames of love going out. But what we wanted people to understand that there is no fear in love, because fear has torment. And so that torment is a boundary, meaning you're not willing to go beyond that point. And so what happens is the reason a lot of marriages really fail is because the love they received failed them, because the love they received wasn't the same love that we read about. Are you hearing me? Are you understanding where I'm at?
Are
you unmuted?
Yes, there I go. I'm unmuted now. I'm understanding, and I heard what you said, and I'm going to leave comments behind on the variations of love that you mentioned. Only because of the fact that I've kind of went to the base words, most of us do. Nonetheless, the bottom line is simply this. If you're going to rekindle a love relationship, why are you rekindling? Obviously, at some point in time, the love that once was has somehow dissipated or become unflavorful, if I could use that word. And good evening to everybody. I do apologize. The bottom line is this. We have to make up in our mind what we're going to do. I like what you said, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, concerning your parents. I appreciate the fact that they've spent 50 years together. You know, here's something that a lot of people don't pay attention to, and I think the Gabriels can really appreciate what I'm about to say. You spend, on average, 30 to as much as 60 minutes getting married, but it takes about 30 years for you to get to a point in place where you become stabilized in marriage. And that makes a lot of sense, because in that 30-year period, you put yourself in a position where, I'll take care of the rest tomorrow. You put yourself in a position where, you have to learn of each other. The average marriage, if you do it correctly, according to God's word, a man and woman coming together, meeting and greeting in the dating state, the courting state, if you want to call it that, it takes a minute for you to get used to each other, to come to a point in place where you have enough confidence in one another and believe that that is your soulmate or the one who was called alongside to help. Take your choice however you want to say it. But then comes that period right after you say I do, where the real testing comes, because the absolute real you is about to come to the surface. Now, you claim that you're willing to take them for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Here's what a lot of men forget. That woman carried her father's name up until the time you got to that altar to exchange vows, which means that being carried in her father's bosom, that woman was protected, she was loved, she was cherished, she was cared for, she was nurtured. Her provision, everything she needed in provision was made possible. What you have said to that father, in essence, is, I am now stepping up to take from you this woman, to make her my wife, to do not only what you have done, but something else. And in these marriage vows, the witnessing to those who are in the audience, that preacher who's performing the ceremony, and Almighty God himself, you make a vow. Why are you rekindling something when you made a vow to do it in the beginning? Well, selfishness has a lot to do with it. Mistrust. There are a lot of words we could use. Let me just undergird this, stick a pin in this, and I'm going to stop right here. If you're trying to rekindle a love, then you need to go back and figure out where did you fall out. I like what you said, Sister Gabriel, by the way. Go back and find out where you fell out of love and pick up from that point and begin to repair the breach from there. That's all I'm going to add for that moment. I heard a good portion of it. I couldn't talk because I was coming through the airport.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank God for you. Prayerfully, you're safe. Amen. Let me make this clear again. This thing of falling in and or out of love is not very good at all. The whole purpose of this 1 Corinthians 13:4-8a is so that we can grow in this. Remember, we have to be perfected in this in order for us to actually say this is how we operate. Is that simple?
I agree.
I believe that.
I agree.
There are some. Okay. All right. Thank you. I believe that we have a question or two. Let me hear some of these questions.
Okay, I have some questions. Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow. My first question is this. So if you're courting someone, you're getting to know someone, and you tell that person, and maybe this is just me, the way that I'm perceiving it, the way that I'm receiving it. You're courting someone, and, you know, you guys have, it's past the six-month mark, it's past a year mark, and you tell this person that you love them, and they don't respond to you. How do you think, or what is that other person's reaction, the one that said it, that I love you? My second question is, wow, I'm kind of sort of at a loss for words because of what I'm hearing, and it makes me question, you know, do people really love each other, or is it just a word that's used because it's convenient for people? Do they really feel? Is it a feeling? Is it a heartfelt feeling? I'm lost. I'm so lost right now.
Okay. Let's go back to your first question. When a person tells someone after about 6 months, I love you, and then the person they told it to doesn't respond, are you asking what is the reaction?
I mean, what from both sides, the male perspective, if he was the one that said that he loved you, or the female. I mean, because it's like you have to know what love is. We all heard the song, I Wanna Know What Love Is, or Falling in Love with Jesus was the best thing I ever did. But I mean, for some reason tonight, I got more questions now. So I need those first two dealt with.
Okay. So when a person tells someone.
I was getting ready to ask. Yes, I do. And here's what I want to say. I don't want you to be at a loss for words. 6 months into a relationship, that individual says they love you. Most cases, and Brother and Sister Gabriel, get ready to run up on this because I know you've done the actual research. I'm going by what I've learned over a period of time. You've fallen in love with that individual because you've examined their character, you paid attention to their demeanor, you paid attention to how they handle themselves in the social atmosphere, you pay attention to how they handle themselves in the financial arena, you paid attention to their compassion or lack thereof toward family, friends, and acquaintances. You're falling in love with what that person is presenting. And what you're falling in love with is you know, and I hate to say this for us as adults, but stage one, it's an infatuation type of. There's a muse or an amuse. I don't want to use the word amusement because it's the wrong word, but there is a muse. There is a yearning because of what you see in that person. It gives you the impression that it's what you are looking for. And therefore, you're in love with what you're looking at. Falling in love with the person themselves, despite all of their attributes or lack thereof, happens a little later. But that infatuation state will push you to can and will push you to the altar. It can push you to the altar. Okay?
But hold on, for the record, just for the record, I'm not talking about me in general. I'm asking a question.
Anything on this show is not about you personal. It's general. We always speak general because I know you, but I don't know you that well that I could speak about you. Unless God gives me something for you, and I'm not getting anything from God for you at the moment. So I'm speaking general. Go ahead.
Okay, when you respond, I would like to also respond to the bishop's statement. So go ahead, ma'am. Okay, well, speaking in generalities, we're looking at the majority of the population and in instances of people falling in and out of love. And I don't think that that term falling means literally to come off balance and fall and hurt yourself. It's just a term that is like a rapid entry into something. I just fell. And they have too many songs, too many statements and books written about falling in love. And it all depends on the context and where you place a word. It has a different connotation and meaning. To me, this is a wonderful conversation. And back to where we started is with the rekindling and the different types of love. These different types of love, and each one of us do not possess a strong behavior in each one of these types of love. Some that's eight, some that's four, but there's four main types. And that one is the first one you mentioned, agape, that means unconditional. Now, there are few people exercising unconditional love, where if there was more unconditional love and the other type would be selfish, there would be no divorces. Like no matter how much you cheat on me, how bad you beat me, however you do me, I am going to love you no matter what. And I don't personally advocate that for anybody, that unconditional love. I think that is displayed mostly with parents and children. After that, I don't see an application for it. I wouldn't recommend an application for it, especially in the Eros type of love. Just treat me any kind of way, and I'll still be here. That is not what I'm not people looking for. And again, about this love, people have different definitions for love. And one is how you make me feel. If you can be around someone that when you see them, you just begin to smile and lighthearted and just happy, and you can't talk to them enough, you can't be close enough to them, and that just goes on and on or perpetually, then we call that love. And if something happens in a relationship that moves that off track, and then we reexamine our feeling toward that individual, and many times part of a change term that we have for our affection for the person. And my recommendation, a relationship, is first of all, one, that monogamy. Monogamy helps a lot. A third person, the house on that here we are. I know we, the men that we're all talking about, these we give these hyperbolic exaggerations about how many women we can service and it doesn't bother us. But that's just something that we men do. It's mostly lies anyway. But we fall in love and we want that one person. We want one person, that one that we see, we're with, and everything changes. We just get relaxed and just feel wonderful. And that is just the way that some people fall in love. Other people fall in love, are together, and seldom say anything. And they wouldn't take anything for that particular lifestyle. So each of us would describe it differently based on our requirement and what pleases us in a relationship with another individual. So this tonight is just to, I guess, to just make us more aware of the situations that would lead to what we call love.
Brother Gabriel, I always appreciate a lot of the things that you say. But here's the thing. Here's where I'm at, and here's the purpose of my podcast. Many things that we were taught were inaccurate. That's because many of us, our ancestors, only had maybe third, fourth, fifth grade education. So therefore, they didn't know what to learn. So therefore, they shared what they knew. We are in a day and time where we have to learn what to know so that we can do better and we can have better results. Back in that time, you didn't hear of so many divorces. But in today's time, the divorce rate is above 68%. And that's in the church. That's because why? Because people are running off of information that has not been beneficial to them. This is hence this show, the reason for making marriage meaningful, because we want to, with the word of God, cause people's mindsets to be transformed. This is what we want to do. We want to transform their thinking so that they don't do the same things that was done that landed so many people where they landed. Now, you did say something very, very crucial. To fall is, if you will, to go so fast. Well, from my understanding, every time I've fallen in life is because I was going too fast. Every time I have fallen in life is because I tripped over something. Every time I've fallen in life is because something grabbed hold of me and yanked me and boom, I fell. And every time I fell, I had one thing in mind. I need to get up. I might have had to lay there and wallow for a moment because it was so painful. But I had to get up. Why? Because I couldn't stay there. Here's what I'm getting at. The reason many people have their love grows, their love gets cold is because they get up from their fall. And what I believe we ought to do, again, is grow into this type of love. We are to grow. And by growing, we do two things. When we grow, we extend to reach the differences, and we expand to cover the faults. Let me say it again. When you grow in this kind of love that we're talking about, which we understand as a characteristic of God, what we do is we extend to reach wherever there's a shortage, but we expand to cover faults. What God designed us for, and this is something that is missing. This is something that is lacking. So, again, in order to rekindle this love, what we have to do is bring clarity again. Matter of fact, let me thank you, Lord. Again, he said that rekindle is to reignite or to revive. Why does the church have revival? Because they've gotten cold in their walk with God. They've gotten cold in their prayer life. They've gotten cold in their testimony. They've gotten cold in their worship. They've gotten cold in their diligence to be a witness. And so we get revived so we can go back to doing those things that God wanted us to do. Well, if it's so in the body of Christ when it comes to the church, then must it not be as well in marriage? Because what? Because he's no longer doing what he's supposed to do as a husband. She's no longer doing what she's supposed to do as a wife. And now all of a sudden, we've got coldness in the room. We've got a cold war in the house. We've got a whole lot of tension, and we've got a whole lot of distance. And then what happens is it's rubbing off. Because while there's this coldness, there's this defraudation that is taking place, and with defraudation, then comes degradation. Lord, these words tonight, and so these are issues that are being found in marriages that people are not taking heed to, and so you can go to a counselor. That's good. But who better to help us to understand how to operate than God through his word? Listen.
May I add to something you said earlier? I don't let this pass about the people in another era decades ago would stay married when the divorce rate was lower. Now, we have learned through the social scientists, that was something that our parents endured, and it's called adaptive tolerance. They adapted and they tolerated things that they all were not in favor of. And you're talking about the dynamics, the disparaging type of social media that they would have to face. But now, that they have people will have more social approval. If you marry someone and to get divorced in 2 months, there is nothing degrading about that. You just move on, man. You keep your high five, and you just get somebody else. So that adaptive tolerance was something that took place years ago, and it's not necessary now because you are not shunned for getting a divorce or leaving somebody. But sometimes people just, we had a situation recently where somebody just left their whole family. A woman left her husband and 2 kids, just left. And apparently she'd been thinking about that for a long time. And so that she didn't adapt. She didn't have adapt tolerance. So she left just to satisfy herself. And so that is something I think that we're looking at that you mentioned earlier in your conversation about this last portion of it. Social approval is rampant, and anything you do, it's all right.
Gentlemen,
and just come on back home, come on back into the church. You will be welcome. You won't be ostracized. You all right with me? I know you shot your husband. You got away on a technicality in the court. But you still okay? Come on back.
Is it really that bad? Hold on. Gentlemen, can I please get through here? Because, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm listening. I appreciate all that's being said. But we failed to hit the nail on the head on this one. You got to go back to the original state. Before you can rekindle anything, you have to have had something kindled. And revival is for somebody who has lost their love or their original love. The bottom line here is from the beginning state, and the question that Apostle Flight asked has been left unanswered, technically. 6 months into a relationship, it's a possibility, yes, you can say, I love you. if you find yourself in a state where you are 100% satisfied with whatever it is you see in that potential mate. And because you said I love you doesn't mean you're getting married. You both have to come to a mutual agreement. We're bypassing the very fact that you mentioned Apostle Whitlow, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Or you can go 4 through 10 if you want, but 4 through 8 is a good cover. So here's the bottom line. If Michael Jordan didn't practice, would he be the great basketball player that he is? Roberto Clemente, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, he can go Wayne Gretzky. And I'm using a sports illustration to bring home a truth. In when you start walking in love, I'm talking about the agape slash eros. When you're talking about infatuation and feelings one with another, it's a practice. You put it into practice. Perfection does not come because you read about it and now, boom, you know, hocus pocus, I'm now in focus. I can do this. That's not what happens. Because if there's no trial, if there's no testing, if there's no persecution, no persevering, if there's none of that stuff, you don't know the strength of that love. You can't learn it. That's like trying to go to school. You ain't never been to college, but you want a doctorate degree. What kind of madness is that? Earn the doggone thing. And all I'm simply saying is what you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, those are our standards or the goals that we put into practice to learn how to walk in the God kind of love. And when you learn how to walk in the kind of love that God offers, now the rest of it becomes doable. But if you can't learn how to walk in the God kind of love, you're not able to do the rest. It's just going to be impossible. I like what you said, Brother Otis, about the young man or the young lady decided to just walk away. A, number one, that woman was infatuated first and foremost. And when she realized it was just a pipe dream, now she's saying to herself, I can't get out of this. She stayed for a while. Then all of a sudden, the clear blue sky, I've had enough. I got to go. And bless me. I believe I'm saying this because my second marriage, you identified my second marriage, okay? You literally identified my – she wasn't happy with what she saw. I worked all the time, and if I wasn't working all the time, every Sunday I was at the radio station learning how to be a good broadcaster, and that was only for 3 or 4 hours. But see, this woman, and I have to give credit where credit's due, because she was with the three boys that we had. She was with them every day, and I was there for just a few minutes. My 15 minutes of fame seemed to outweigh her 8 to 10 hours of strain if we went her way. But the truth of the matter is, at the time, she stayed home. I went to work. What did you expect to happen, woman? Anyway, that's all I'm trying to say.
Let me go back to this once again, to this question that Apostle Flight asked about a couple who have been, if you will, involved with each other, seeing each other for about 6 months, and one of them says, I love you, and the other one doesn't respond. What is that? What is that? And at this point, it's just a one-sided love. That's what that becomes, a one-sided love. Because what and hear this, one thing I've discovered about love is that love does not look for anything in return. Love does not look for anything in return. So if one individual says, I love you, and there is no response, be okay with it. Because love is for a response. We are not out of talk. We're out of time for tonight. I do invite you to join us again on next week, Saturday night, for more from Making Marriage Meaningful. We're going to pick this subject up. We're going to go even deeper, and we're going to begin to get into these, if you will, these standards or characteristics that we see here so that we make sure that the marriage operates properly because the love is being rekindled. Thank you to each and every one of you, Apostle Felicia Flight, Brother Otis and Lady Otis, Gabriel, thank you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, thank you. Bishop Ernest E. Richardunia, thank you. And anyone else who may have called in and just listened in, thank you. For those who joined us through Facebook Live, thank you. We appreciate you. Please remember that your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. All right? Until next time, go with God, and he will and he will with you. Peace. Good night. Shalom. All right, Dr. Kimmy, come on and drop that track.
Because, you know, I like, I'll be like, Julio, let's get the ad-lib and stuff.
I do the do da 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 do da 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 a sweet da 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 da.
Oh my God, that's like soul spoon, like scat or something like that. You be talking in tongues, you know what I mean? Ah.
You walk right in the church.
Yeah, I got it.
You got on a dress that I like.
Hey, Otis.
Looking like you're coming from work. And your shoes game is looking so nice. I wish that she could sit right next to me. Me. Maybe we can read a scripture from 1 through 3. 1. Now wait a minute, is the usher walking over here right next to me? Then he pointed my direction, said, go ahead and take a seat. I think I feel that God just went and blessed me. But I gotta keep my cool, cause she put a Bible next to mine. She put a Bible next to mine. Father God, I hope my time is right. Every good man needs a Christian wife. Christian wife, Christian wife. See, God has a way to position in things right for you. And sometimes you can't see it until it comes right to you. From you. And that's just how he works. No questions asked. Romans 8:28. Please keep the faith. You're going to have to believe. Cause God got something smooth right up his sleeve. And that's God's purpose. And it's worth it. And she's worth it. Nobody's perfect. Put a Bible next to mine. She put a Bible next to mine. Father God, I hope my time is right. Every good man needs a Christian wife. Christian wife, Christian wife. Father God, I hope my time is right. why, Christian, why, Christian, why? See, God has a way to position in things right for you. See, God has a way to